Each of these Wednesday nights, we have been focusing our attention upon the concept of giving. We have explained it from a couple of different vantage points out of 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9. The focus point is that the entire Christian system is built upon the concept of giving. It is built upon the concept, as we just sang, this world is my Father's world. I love what the psalmist said in Psalm 24 and verse number 1. It says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world, and all they that dwell therein. Not every it that is included in the word world, but even those individuals, you and I, that dwell upon the world, we belong to God. By right of creation, we are His children. And so giving and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is the heartbeat of New Testament Christianity. And so we've been looking at 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, and I want us to look at chapter 9 and to look at a couple of items here in chapter 9 that I think might help us to understand the great principles of giving. And one of those is in relationship to the willingness of an individual to give. A person might be compelled to do something, and they might be forced to do something, but in Christianity, the greatest aspect of everything that we do is that it is a willing sacrifice. Jesus did not come to this earth, live in the flesh, and was brutalized upon the cross because somebody made Him do it. It was a gift that He was willing to give. And there's a sense of beauty about that with relationship to our giving as well. And so I want you to notice chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians, just a couple of verses here, and I want you to pay attention to some key words. For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write unto you. For I know the, and I have this underlined, the forwardness of your mind. In other words, I know of your willing mind. You were forward in this, from which I boasted, or I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready, there's that word, was ready a year ago, and your zeal, there's another word that would emphasize their willingness, hath provoked many, very many, it says. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain. In behalf of that, as I said, ye may be ready. There's that ideal again of readiness. Less happily, verse number 4, he says, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we should be ashamed in the same confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty whereof you had noticed before, that the same might, and here's this word again, be ready as a matter of bounty and not as a matter of covetousness. Now notice how he continues to press this readiness to give. And I would like for you to think about it in terms of our theme this year. We're talking about preparing ourselves to be ready to give an answer. How better to be prepared to give an answer to the people of this world that I believe Christianity than to put my money where my mouth is. You see, that's the true gift of giving, is that I'm willing to do what Christianity or what Christ has asked me to do. I'm willing. There's a willingness here, but I want you to notice with that willingness, there is a cheerfulness, right? You knew we had to get to this particular verse. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 14, I believe it is, says, do all things without murmuring or disputing. Do all things without murmuring. In fact, when Peter would address our use of hospitality in the New Testament church, he would say that we should be hospitable without murmuring, without complaining, without saying, oh, man, I'll do it, but I'll only do it because I have to. And that's the concept here. Everything about 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 is all about the cheerfulness, the willingness. Listen, God has blessed us with an opportunity to be His children. He has blessed us with everything that I have. Should not there be a willing gift in return? As the Macedonians begin this chapter, this section in chapter 8 and verse number 1, they were willing to give themselves first. And if I am willing to give myself first, then I will be a cheerful giver. And then I want you to notice at the very end of this, verse number 15, where he says, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. There is a gift that has been placed within our bosom. The gift of eternal life. The gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. And all of that then encourages me in my giving. And as we have mentioned before, it's not just about a tote board. It's not just about a treasury. We're talking about the gift of time, the gift of effort, the gift of energy, the gift of when things need to be done, will I sacrifice some things of the outside world in order to help aid and benefit the body of Christ? Giving is such a beautiful topic. But you know that the reason why we entered into this is because, well, the tote board is good. If we wait till the tote board gets bad and we start dealing with it, there are some suspicious minds who might be, what are those elders up to? Or if we ask Mike to preach on it, they're going to think that Mike's wanting a raise and so he's going to preach on giving. So the best time to do it is when you're not even thinking about it. A Wednesday night devotional. When everything seems to be going well, we'll talk about giving. Then, when we have to bring it up later, it won't be such a shocker, will it? And so Paul says, I'm going to send some people to you so that you'll be ready. This is just a little readiness reminder of the great gifts God has bestowed upon us and how we can gift Him in return. Now, my friends, if you're not a New Testament Christian tonight, all of the gifts that you could offer to God, I might take a phrase out of the Old Testament, are but filthy rags. There is nothing that you can honestly and sincerely offer to God that would be of any value at all outside of Christ. Only those in Christ are where gifts are accepted. And so we want you to be gifted with Christ so that you can gift Christ in return. That's the way that it works. And so if you will hear the gospel message and you will respond to that in faith and obedience by making that great confession, repenting of all of your past sins, and then being buried in that watery grave of baptism, only at that time will all of your sins be washed away. You will be transformed from a sinner to a saint. And now all of the gifts and services that you have to offer God are acceptable in His sight. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. That's what we long for as New Testament Christians. You know, if you're a child of God and you've gone by the wayside and you're back with us tonight, you're thinking about these matters, this might be the prime opportunity for you to take advantage of this situation as we are about to stand and sing the song of invitation, for you to take advantage of taking care of that sin that so easily is weighing you down. Your brethren here are ready to help you, to aid you, to pray for you, and to do everything within their power to assist you. If there's some way that we can help you be closer to God, to draw nigh unto God, please come as together we stand and sing.